Hi, my name is Greta Lockwood, and I will be your first affirmative speaker.
Hi, my name is Sarah Snyder, and I'll be the second affirmative speaker.
Hi, my name is Andy Ellis, and I'll be the first negative speaker.
And hello, my name is Helen Morgan, and I'll be the second negative speaker.
My partner and I are glad to be here today to affirm the National High School Debate topic. Resolved that the federal government should establish an education policy to significantly increase academic achievement in secondary schools in the United States. We are concerned that our high schools, supposedly a place for education, are becoming a place of violence, which makes it difficult for students to learn comfortably. We believe that mandatory school uniforms would improve the situation. Contention 1, schools, clothing, and violence are linked. Subpoint A, violent crimes plague our schools. School violence is a serious problem and actions must be taken. Dina M. Stargay, February 1998, Boston University Law Review. The crime rate in public schools is startling. A 1995 study showed that over 3 million crimes occur annually in the nation's 85,000 public schools. A substantial number of these crimes are violent and gang related. To protect both students and teachers, school officials must take proactive measures to prevent school violence. We believe that clothing contributes to violence. Subpoint B, student dress contributes to school violence. Dina M. Starkey, February 1998, Boston University Law Review. Many school officials believe that student dress choices often contribute to an increase of violence in schools. Students hide weapons in baggy clothes and assault other students for their expensive clothes or jewelry. Some educators link these crimes to gang activity, and certain clothing styles and colors have become a hallmark of gang membership. Therefore, we present the following plan to be implemented through all necessary and normal means. 1, the federal government will require that all states receiving federal aid funds will require their high schools to adopt uniform dress policies within 2 years. 2, uniform dress standards will be flexible and gender neutral, modeled after Long Beach, California. 3, funding and enforcement through normal means. We believe the adoption of this plan is justified as we see in contention 2. School uniforms can be inexpensively and easily distributed. Dina M. Starkey, February 1998, Boston University Law Review. Uniforms should be available and free of charge or at reduced cost to families that cannot afford them. To aid low-income families, a school could institute a uniform buyback policy or solicit financial support from the local businesses. Uniforms should be sold through the schools or in local retail shops to make it easy for parents to find and purchase them. Contention 3, uniform dress policies will improve the situation in American high schools. Subpoint A, uniforms reduce violence in many forms. Dina M. Starkey, February 1998, Boston University Law Review. Approximately 10 states have school districts with mandatory or voluntary uniform policies in place. The school officials in these districts believe that uniforms prevent students from being attacked and robbed for their expensive clothing. Uniforms can also protect children from assaults that result from wearing a gang's colors to school. Moreover, limiting the colors and styles of school dress may reduce some of the open hostility between rival gangs, thereby preventing an atmosphere of intimidation or disruption. Subpoint B, school uniforms contribute to overall school quality, including academic achievement. Dina M. Starkey, February 1998, Boston University Law Review. Supporters of the student uniform policies credit uniforms for improvements in school discipline, respect for authority figures, academic performance, attendance rate, positive attitudes, and overall school climates, as well as reductions in peer pressure and financial strain on parents. Student uniforms are also an effective safety measure, making visitors or intruders easier to distinguish on school premises. Our high schools should be serious places of learning. We believe that although uniform dress policies will not solve all the problems of American high schools, it will make them a better and more effective place for young people to learn. We hope that you will, at the conclusion of this debate, vote in favor of the affirmative proposal. Thank you. I stand open for cross-examination.
Greta, do you really think that clothing is the root cause of violence in schools?
No.
but it is a major contributor of the violence and atmosphere of terror that prevent the psychological safety needed for learning.
But couldn't people who promote an unsafe environment such as gangs just find other ways to express themselves and their identities, since your plan indicates that it would be the uniforms would be a flexible one?
Yes, possibly. Gang members will express themselves through violence. But the visual intimidation associated with the clothing colors and styles will be gone. The uniforms will not allow for that much flexibility. That's why they're going to be uniform. Visual intimidation will be gone, and student learning will be able to happen in our schools. The students will feel safe.
But even if they might feel a tiny bit safer, how would they be able to shape and form and express their identity, since they won't be able to do that through clothing?
Well, through an atmosphere of psychological safety and soundness, they'll feel they'll be able to voice their opinions, and their selves and their actions are great ways to express themselves. Now they're restricted by fear from wearing many types of clothing and colors for survival purposes.
I'd first like to begin by discussing the disadvantageous aspects of the affirmative case as they relate to freedom of expression. Freedom of expression is a major component in each student's educational experience. The affirmative limits expression by restricting the clothing that students can wear. This destroys the true goal of the school, which is educating students. First, dress code and uniform policies violate student freedom of expression. Amy Mitchell Wilson writes in the Spring 1998 Brigham Young University Education and Law Journal, "Dress code opponents argue that the student's clothing does convey a message expressing their ideas and individuality, and thus qualifies as expressive speech. Uniform opponents argue that requiring students to wear uniforms is more than merely incidental. Implementation of a uniform dress code is excessive. Therefore, such regulations are unconstitutional." B. Free speech is essential for student learning and development. Dina M. Sarkey writes in the February 1998 Boston University Law Review, "Self-expression is essential to students' education and development. It helps children establish their identities and gain maturity. Therefore, school programs should restrict expression only when necessary to achieve even more important goals." Now I'd like to move on to contention one, which is that schools and clothing and violence are linked. First, I'd like to contend that there may be alternative causes for this violence other than school clothing, such as television and the media, or gangs and crime outside of schools. Additionally, I'd like to argue that there is no good evidence of a decline in school quality in America. On the contrary, it has been steadily improving. Richard Rothstein of the Economic Policy Institute writes in The Way We Were, The Myths and Realities of America's Student Achievement, "To this point, there is no serious evidence for a decline in school quality. It is probable that the education children receive is at least as good as any perceived golden age. More likely, it has been improving for most of the century." Now I'd like to turn to contention two, which is that uniforms are easily and efficiently distributed. Though this may be the case, they never read any evidence that indicates that high school students would like it. In fact, I would suggest that high school students strongly oppose school uniforms, from Dina M. Sarkey in the February 1998 Boston University Law Review. "Though many school administrators believe that uniforms are beneficial, most school districts only implement uniforms at the elementary and middle school levels. The Long Beach superintendent notes that high school students are resentful of uniform policies. At this point, we don't have the courage to mandate it for high school. Additionally, reforms which work in a small demonstration project fail upon broader implementation." Frederick Hass of the Brookings Institution writes in 1999 in his book Spinning Wheels, The Politics of Urban School Reform, "Highly touted reforms found to be effective when attempted in small-scale studies often produce disappointing results when attempted on a larger scale. Excessive and weakly supported reform actively has made it exceedingly difficult for reforms to take root and flourish, regardless of the design of any given initiative." Finally, I'd like to turn to contention three, where they argue that uniform dress policies will improve both the will solve both the violence and the academic problems in our schools. First, responding to the claim about violence, I would contend that it will only work if the students want it, and our evidence indicates that students do not want these uniforms. If they don't want them, there's not going to be the reform that they look for.
Additionally, there is no certainty that dress codes reduce violence or increase academic achievement. Amy Mitchell Wilson writes in the spring 1998 Brigham Young University Education and the Law Journal. Although dress codes are increasing in popularity throughout the United States, educators do not uniformly agree upon the benefits produced by these regulations. There is no certainty that dress codes reduce school violence or improve academic achievement. Furthermore, strict dress codes, which school officials justify because they are aimed at preventing gang violence, have been adopted in several areas that do not have gang problems, undermining some school officials' justification. Now, the second claim they make is that the uniforms contribute to improved academic achievement. However, I would contend that school uniform policies are merely a band-aid solution to much larger problems. Again, Amy Mitchell Wilson writes in the spring 1998 Brigham Young University Education and Law Journal. At best, school uniform policies are purely experimental. The call for school uniforms is not constructive because it is a band-aid solution to a set of serious problems that defy easy answers. The fact is that there are no empirical studies that show that uniforms consistently produce positive changes in student behavior over the long run. Thank you, and I now stand ready for cross-examination.
Do you have a suggestion about what we can do to change the atmosphere of intimidation?
It's not my role in this debate to suggest what the solution is, but instead to show that your solution won't solve the problem and will in fact cause greater problems as it limits students' freedom of expression.
So you admit that there is a problem in school that needs to be dealt with?
Well, the schools are not perfect places right now, and we never contend that. Our evidence, in fact, suggests that the band-aid solutions which you try to implement are in no way capable of fixing the problems that do exist in our schools. Yes, there are problems, but your solution is in no way going to solve, and in fact will cause worse problems.
So we proved that 10 states have successfully implemented the uniform policy and have successfully reduced violence. Why isn't that enough evidence?
Because you need to take into account a lot of other factors. Those 10 schools, for example, may be in places where there is not a problem with gangs, and they may be, as our evidence indicates, reducing some of the smaller fights, but not the big gang problems that you indicate. Those schools are just demonstrations, and those demonstrations are not models for the rest of the school system. That is what our argument is.
I would like to start by addressing the argument which the negative coins is a disadvantage to our case. They argue that we'll decrease children's freedom of expression and that that's a bad thing. Our first argument is that the Supreme Court recognizes that some limitations on student rights are necessary for the learning process to proceed. Amy Mitchell Wilson argues this in the spring of 1998 in her Brigham Young University Education and Law Journal article. Wallace involved dress code regulations covering both hair and clothing. The court noted that the very nature of public school education requires limitations on one's personal liberty in order for the learning process to proceed. Our second argument is that clothing is not recognized as a true speech expression worthy of being covered by the First Amendment, which is what their evidence is specific to. Dina M. Sarkey argues this in February of 1998 in her Boston University Law Review article. Another important issue addressed by the lower courts is whether student dress constitutes true expression worthy of First Amendment protection. Some courts have justified upholding dress restrictions in public schools by deeming the conduct in question non-expressive. In order to be considered expressive, communication must be intentionally imparted with a high likelihood of being understood. Our last argument on this disadvantage is that the advantages of decreasing violence would outweigh the impacts of limiting some freedom of expression. Our argument is that children are dying and people are being picked on, and that there's a terror that people feel going to school, and that this is much more important than limiting a little bit of their expression, especially when limiting that expression is necessary for the learning process to continue. Now I'd like to turn to the case. On contention one, they have a couple of arguments. Their first argument is that there are other causes of violence other than the clothes that people wear. Well, yeah, of course, there are lots of things that cause violence. Our argument, as Greta so articulated in the cross-examination, is that the dress is a major contributing factor to violence when it does occur. We read evidence that indicates that dress is a key factor in causing violence. Our argument is that we have to start somewhere, and that school uniforms and dress codes are where to start.
Next, they argue that schools are getting better in the status quo. But in cross-examination, first, Andy concedes that there is a problem in schools. Second, we already read evidence from Dina Sparky in Contention 1 that says that violence is increasing in schools right now. And I would argue that the recent school shootings in schools in Colorado and Kentucky and Atlanta and other schools are only proving that there is violence and it's increasing in schools right now. Now I'd like to move to Contention 2. First, they say that high school students won't like the high school students won't like the dress codes. Well, we argue a couple things. First, parents favor school uniform requirements, according to Dina M. Sparky in February of 1998 in the Boston University Law Review. The U.S. Department of Education discussing research findings from parent questionnaires in school districts with uniform requirements indicated that a positive attitude towards school uniform requirements, especially for their role in reducing clothing competition and furthering financial savings. Our second argument is that we can let the students be involved in the process of deciding what the uniforms that will be worn in their schools are. Next, the negative argues that demonstration projects fail and that anywhere that it's been tried doesn't necessarily prove that it can work in other places. We argue that there are 10 different states in which school uniforms have been tried and that it's proven to work there and that that justifies expanding it to other schools. Specifically, our evidence talks about places like in Los Angeles, in Long Beach. Our evidence talks about Washington State. Our evidence also talks about New Jersey and Kansas City. These are all very diverse places all across the country where it's worked everywhere. Now I'd like to move to Contention 3, violence. First, they argue that it only works where students want it. But our first argument is that multiple examples show where school uniform policies have reduced school violence, according to Dina M. Sarkey in 1998 from the Boston University Law Review. School officials implementing a mandatory uniform policy at the South Shore Middle School in Seattle also noticed an improvement in the overall school atmosphere. Similarly, a mandatory uniform policy at George Washington Carver School in Kansas City resulted in a sense of calmness throughout the school. And finally, since the implementation of mandatory uniform policy at the Ruffner Middle School in Norfolk, Virginia, fighting has decreased by 38%. Second, we also argue that not all schools have necessarily wanted it, but it's worked even in those schools that where students and parents and the community didn't want it. We also argue that we'll allow students some choice in determining what the uniforms are, and that means that they will like it more, and it will be more apt to work there. Now, last, they argue that we're only a Band-Aid solution, and we need broader change and reform first. We argue that school uniforms cannot solve all of the problems of education, but they are a step in the right direction because they contribute to violence in schools. Dina M. Sarkey argues this in February 1998 in her Boston University Law Review article. Violence, apathy, and competition are problems that are prevalent in schools and that have no easy solutions. A uniform policy may protect some children from assaults for wearing the wrong color, but it will not cure the underlying wounds in our society, nor will uniforms single-handedly end gang violence. Although school uniforms alone cannot solve the problems facing our schools today, they may, in some school districts, be one beneficial step towards improving the public school environment. Our argument is that ending the violence in schools is of key importance right now, and that school uniforms are a step in that right direction, even if it might inhibit some forms of expression.
Sarah, do you contend that in this instance it is okay to limit what students consider to be self-expression for a greater good, such as stopping violence?
Well, first, none of your evidence indicates that students contend that this is self-expression, only that the courts interpret it that way. Secondly, I'll argue that yes, it is necessary to limit this sort of expression, but this isn't the same kind of expression as the First Amendment is talking about, which is what my evidence indicates.
All right. Next question is that our evidence indicates that Long Beach, which is your model, has not even implemented this proposal in high schools. How then do you know that this proposal will work in high schools when none of your models have tried it?
Well, first, in the case of Long Beach, if students have been wearing uniforms from elementary school and in junior high school, I don't see why they wouldn't be, you know, more than willing to wear uniforms in high school. Also, our evidence talks about how kids would be allowed to be able to choose what kind of uniforms would be involved in this. I think giving them that incentive is a good enough evidence to indicate that it will probably work.
Okay. And finally, you admit that it is, in fact, only one step in the process of reforming schools. How much of the violence do you think you can actually solve through this one step?
Well, our evidence indicates in Virginia this one step has curbed violence 38%, and I think that that's a significant amount of violence.